Hello, everybody. This week in Flaring on Films, we're talking about the film Shiva Baby.
Yep, the music.
Buddy, I'm Michael Flaherty.
And I'm Colleen Flaherty. And this is a little podcast where we talk about very culturally important films. Michael, what are we talking about this week? And what is it about?
We're talking about the film Shiva Baby. It's a real film. It's on HBO Max. I picked it because I Googled what are the best films. And this was one of them that didn't look
of 2020?
Of 2021, actually.
Okay. But of movies that were filmed in a worldwide pandemic. So not a lot of options.
Sure. And a lot of the movies looked really sad. This one looked, this looks interesting. So that's why I picked it. So it's a real film that people know about. And here's the description.
I have to tell you that Michael, every time he brings up this film, he then follows it with, it's real. Like, it's a real film because nobody has actually heard of this film.
But I mean, it's not like Liam Neeson's in it, but it's a real film. Here we go. At a Jewish funeral service with her parents, a college student runs into her sugar daddy.
Whoa.
Colleen, have you seen this film before?
Obviously, I've not seen or heard of this film in any way. I don't know.
I haven't seen it either.
The only thing that was like, oh, this is somewhat culturally familiar to me was like, oh, it's Quinn Fabre from Glee.
Who's that?
The blonde girl in it. The wife of the guy.
I actually recognize her. I did watch Glee.
I felt like a bag of poop when they're like, oh, she's so old. Like, she's who I want to be in 15 years. And I'm like, fuck you. Because, like, she is, like, high school age when I was that age. Fuck all of you.
How funny that you went there. You're like, oh, I know this movie because of that girl from Glee. Where I'm like, I know this movie because of the dad. It was in Heroes. He was, like, I think he was Mohinder's dad.
Oh. He was?
I made that up. But I think he's in Heroes.
Are you talking about Steven Tobin? Like, that character actor?
The dad.
Her dad? Yeah. He was also in Glee.
Sure. God, shows from 2007.
Right? Okay. Anyway, let's go to our fan favorite. Lost. And what I assume is going to be a very long and involved segment
Segment. Here we go. Buckle in.
It is.
Do not sit in the middle seat. Get to the left or right side.
Bam.
Time for Sam.
The part of the show where Sam comes on and tells us a lot of facts about this movie. Sam, take it away.
Favorite part of the segment is the quantity. Go ahead, Sam.
So, fun fact, not only is this a real movie, it was two movies.
That's really surprising.
Yeah. So that's the only fact I have for you guys. You're welcome. That's the only fact. No, so
do you mean sorry, you're gonna explain.
I will explain, I promise. So writer and director Emma Sigman came up with this idea while she was at NYU. And she was inspired by her fellow classmates who were sugar babies, or the verb sugaring, which I've heard of sugar babies, but not sugaring. I thought that was interesting.
Which is just the act of being a sugar baby.
Exactly. Okay. And it's an act of either... It seems like people either did it for, like, I need some extra spending cash, or they would actually do it to make money to afford living in New York, which is a very expensive.
The reasons why anybody would do anything for money.
Very fair. So she viewed it, though, from, like, her classmates as kind of like this very empowering thing that women were doing. Mm-hmm. It's just like another part of your identity. And then I have this long quote of hers, but I thought it was interesting to kind of give you guys an idea about what this culture is like. In my time at NYU, it seemed like everyone I knew was on Seeking Arrangement, which I'm assuming is the app and or site. My classmates were meeting older men who owned Soho apartments just for their dogs and took them, the girls, not the dogs, on trips to Trump-branded resorts. It's an essential service. People need friendship, companionship, loyalty, sex, money. Many friends still make a living or supplement their incomes from seeking arrangements. I made a profile once after a partially depressing night at the Boom Boom Room when I was 19, putting in a clause that anyone I met had to take me out for martinis at the Carlisle. At the time, I did not possess the sexual charisma required to really pull this off, though I hope someone young and enterprising reads this and gets inspired.
That's weird. Michael, do you remember that episode of SpongeBob where he makes a lot of money making pretty patties and then he just starts lighting his money on fire? That's another thing you can do with money.
Like the Joker.
Yeah.
The thing about Gat.
So basically, from what like I read a couple interviews with her, and she's didn't like the depiction of sugaring in the media because it's kind of viewed as like super sexy or super depressing. And so she wanted to do kind of like a more realistic, this is what it's like for people who sugar.
I think people listening to your facts right now who do not know this movie are going to be like, what is this movie? It sounds like really weird. But I feel like the depiction is not like they don't go into it super bad. And it is, I think, a good depiction. I like it.
I mean, I don't think it's particularly positive or negative in
right.
the movie.
Right. It's not saying like it's actually awesome. That's not this movie.
So she wrote this screenplay actually as her thesis.
This is going to sound mean, and I think I mean it to be mean. It does seem like a college film. Like it seems like someone from NYU wrote this film.
Well, very fair. And then she would expand that thesis into a 2018 short film by the same title. It is called Shiva Baby, and she did entered it into the South by Southwest Film Festival in 2018, where it would premiere. Once it premiered, and she had the original actress, or the actress who's in the movie also played the role in the short film. She was like really inspired by her, and kind of like when it premiered, it was kind of doing okay, had good reviews. She was like, I think I want to extend this and make it a bigger thing. So that's how they decided to make it into a feature film. So yeah, there's actually two versions and it's the exact same story out there. Two films.
Very cool. I thought you meant like there was like a part one and part two. I was like, what would happen?
No, just like you could have watched a shorter version is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, I can believe that.
So let's talk first of all about this film. The main girl was an actress who was also at NYU, and Sigmund saw her performing in other students' thesis films and decided, yes, she is someone I would run into at a family event. Fun fact about her, she is not Jewish.
What? That seems weird. That's a weird choice.
Quote from her, when I first auditioned for the short film, Emma thought that I was Jewish. And I seem like someone she'd run into at a Shiva. I come from a big Italian Catholic family. Obviously, it's not the same, but there's a lot of crossovers.
Sure. I have a fun fact. I think that you have Sam, but can I say it? Because I think I know one of them.
Okay, go ahead. I know exactly the fact you're going to do, but go ahead.
Diane Argon or something, who plays Quinn for Brangley, who plays the Shiksa wife, is in fact Jewish in real life.
She is. And actually, she was so excited to play in a Jewish film, she didn't even care that she was playing the non-Jewish character.
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like basically what she went into when she was casting this film, she was like, I really wanted Jewish people, but if they fit the role, like, I wasn't going to say no. So okay. The other one that was really big is the mom, the actress who plays the mom.
She was really good. Is she famous?
She's not exceptionally famous that I'm aware of. Also, to save on costs, that's going to be a big topic later. They really tried to focus on New York actors because they didn't want to have to fly anyone. The only one who came over from L.A. was the dad.
Got it. That guy.
Steven Toblatsky,
got it,
who played Bob Bishop in Heroes.
Bob Bishop, there you go.
There you go. So the mom, though, is definitely not Jewish. The actress isn't. And after the audition, like, Emma just gave her the part, and the other producers were like, what are you doing? Like, we didn't even talk about it. And she's like, I just felt kind of like railroaded. Like, she just told me she was right for the part, so I gave it to her. And then, like, apparently, like, she would just, like, come up with, like, scenes randomly, and, like, Emma was just like, okay, we'll do it. But, like, she thought, like, they were really good. Like, she just felt like she really had that mom energy.
So the mom is Polly Draper, whose most famous IMDb credit is The Naked Brothers Band, a Nickelodeon show.
Well, she was really good, I thought. And the dad is named Friend Melamed. So not at all what you said, Colleen.
Wait, what are we talking about?
I'm talking about Fred Melamed.
He plays Joel?
He plays Joel, the dad, yes.
Oh my God, I was totally confusing with a different actor.
Yeah, I know.
That's really embarrassing.
But the actor you said is also in Heroes.
Well, now that's confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a big, it's an ensemble piece, Heroes.
There is more than one actor in it.
There's a lot of main characters. And yeah, a lot of them are related. You don't learn that till later.
Fred Meland is not in Glee, to be clear.
Milo and Claire are actually siblings.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
The cheerleader?
The cheerleader! Who they saved. They got her.
So people are really going to like this because I know there are a bunch of Hero super fans left out there who are really going to get all those very deep cut references. Go on, Samantha.
So the hardest part of creating this film was getting the money, because they couldn't really get a lot of organizations or studios or whatnot to pay for it because they didn't want to give over any of the creative control. I think actually like one of the producers' parents donated money. So like they were called like executive producers, but they weren't really involved at all. So like it was literally just kind of reaching out to individual people in small
groups.
Did
anybody go sugaring to raise money for the movie?
Oh.
Not that I'm aware of, but I honestly would not put it past.
It doesn't look like an expensive film.
No, so the crew actually were all friends of the producers, and they took a cut on their rates. And even the editor of the film was Emma's roommate. So like it was just like all like really close friends who were like, don't worry, buddy, we got you, and we won't charge you too much.
Oh, this is fun.
The total budget was $200,000.
Damn.
It was filmed for 16 days in August of 2019 in an Airbnb in Flashbook.
An Airbnb. That's awesome. Anybody could just make a movie.
It really is easy, actually. In Brooklyn, when she found the house that they were going to use, she actually created like a model of in Legos so that she could plan her shots.
I want to make a movie. This sounds fun. We can do it.
We don't have $200,000.
I mean, we could raise some money.
We don't know any actor who's appeared in Heroes.
That's true. What's the Gilmore Girls guy doing?
Milo?
Well, he's doing This Is Us. He's actually very right now.
Oh, he's big now?
He's big both in his career and in his arms. He's quite buff. Ooh.
Yeah.
We got him, man. Just think...
But if we got him, our movie.
God, our movie would be so good. We got to think of the plot.
Hero up to? Hero would be fun to make a movie
Hero.
With.
Hero.
Yeah. There we go.
There's a lot. Okay. There's so many characters.
There's so many.
There's the brother. He could fly.
Yep. What about the crazy artist?
Isaac! He would paint the future.
What about the hot web guy?
There's a web guy?
There's a web guy.
Didn't he like get covered in webs at one point? Mohinder?
Oh, he is hot, but I don't remember the webs.
Maybe I don't know Heroes that well.
Was it Siler? He was the villain? This is so good.
Oh, that's
yeah, he was the evil one. He would like eat brains.
But then he was like good, maybe?
Yeah, because the show like went on like somehow after two seasons, it went on like way too long. Like, it had already reached the 16 seasons by the third season.
But that dude's in Star Trek films now, so he's not going to be in our movie.
He's not going to be in our movie. Yeah, he's way too high budget.
What are we doing?
I'm trying to think of what I mean. Okay, sorry. So, because they only had, like, a really small budget, you also have to kind of think, like, you don't really have total control of, like, your cast because they have to do other stuff. You're not paying them enough money. So at times they would have to like position the camera in a certain way so that you couldn't see that the other rooms were completely empty because all the extras they could get that day were in like the one room they were filming in. Mm-hmm. But the whole place is supposed to look full.
Zachary Quinto is who you're thinking of.
Yes.
Yes. There was also only 2 days where they had the entire six-person principal cast in at the same time.
Wow.
Okay. Like, it was really just whoever we could get to make this film at whatever time. Originally, she didn't want to do a sound score for the – or music score for this film. But then she found composer Ariel Marks, who created the music for it, and she wanted something anxious and Klemmerish inspired, but not full Fiddler on the Roof.
Klemmerish.
So, it just felt like horror movie stuff.
But like Jewish.
No. We should talk about that more because I actually think the score is interesting. Yeah. How cool. I mean, there's a lot of female action going on. Here,
a lot of lady stuff.
A lot of lady stuff. So do you guys like that?
Love it. Love the ladies.
Love the lady stuff.
Men, meh. Ladies, yes.
That's cool.
This film was set to premiere at South by Southwest again, because they had done the first one in 2018. They're going to premiere it again in 2020. And the pandemic hit. So they ended up doing a virtual viewing in April of 2020. It would be released in theaters on April 2nd, 2021, when movie theaters reopened in the United States. And it would begin streaming on HBO Max July 2021. And the why this is significant is because HBO and Emma are working on developing a TV show based on the world of the movie.
Okay.
They got some other Airbnbs like next to it.
There's a whole site. We have so many places to film.
I think it's funny that you say like the world as though she built a unique world and isn't just like in New York. Like I thought actually the characters were kind of dynamic and like, oh, okay. Maybe I would watch a show with these characters if there was like an actual plot or something was going on. So I get that. But it's like, this is not something we haven't seen before.
They're kind of vague about it. So I'm kind of interested to see if they go more towards like the Jewish, because there's kind of like the big thing about this film was the sugaring society. She wanted to get that correct. The Jewish family life. She talked a lot about that in interviews, how every Jewish event is basically the same thing as a Jewish person suffered, so we have to eat. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, it's a Shiva. You're supposed to be sad, but basically it's people just gossiping, asking stuff about you, and you're eating a bunch of food. It's all the same.
They have a song about that in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend called We Suffered, which is sung by Patti LuPone.
Oh, so Patti LuPone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of that culture, but then also the third culture was the queer culture and correctly kind of demonstrating that. So I'm interested when they talk about what the world, I don't really know any more details about it, but those were kind of the three themes that they
focused. I was like, who's gay in the movie? It took me a long time.
Like the main character.
The main character, yep. Oh yeah, that one.
That's like one of the only things that like happens, even though it doesn't really happen.
Wait, sugaring? What is that?
I have a lot to say about that. All right, go on, Sam. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's all my facts.
That was great.
That was great.
Animal facts?
What?
No animal facts?
No animal facts today.
I thought for sure there'd be like one fact.
About animals?
No, about this movie, because it's just like not a well-known movie.
Yeah, I couldn't even. So normally when I get reviews from people, I go to the Rotten Tomatoes page and they don't even have anything on their Rotten Tomatoes page for this
movie. No reviews?
Yeah, but I found some.
There's got to be some critic reviews because I saw that critics liked it.
Yeah.
Okay, there is.
I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, that was Bam.
That was Bam. Time for Sam.
And now we're going to go to our little Critics Corner, which I was just teasing now.
Oh, okay.
So first we're going to go to Monica Costello from RogerEbert.com. Shiva Baby is a tightly wound movie with almost every minute dedicated to some kind of moment of strife. The script is packed with several rounds of fast-talking infighting, but that rapid fire pacing feeds the contrast between those scenes and the movie's moments of awkward silence, which become even more painful to watch. Mm. I don't even know if that was positive or not.
This is from John, who's an Amazon reviewer. The movie is very depressing, but that could be due to the very poor script and lack of character development. However, the characters were developed enough to be very irritating. In other words, I could care less about what happened to him. So he didn't like the characters. That's too bad.
He didn't. He couldn't care less. John.
Yeah, John. John.
Shiva Baby, despite its thematic acuity, loopy vitality, and committed acting, doesn't add up to enough in its two brief 72 minutes plus end credits to warrant all the crosswired mayhem that gets us over the movie's dubious finish line, says Gary Goldstein of the LA Times. I think it is interesting that this was like a short film and then it was made into a real film, but it's like 70 minutes long. Like, surely they could have just filmed 20 more minutes on the short film at that point. Like, it's not like they had to, you know, re-edit stuff to make a story or something.
Let's put a pin in that. The next one is by EL8, who's an Amazon reviewer. That's not like a guy's name. It's just like his username. This was an incredibly awful movie that just lagged on and on. I've been more entertained waiting to see my dentist in the waiting room.
What?
Damn, that is harsh, because you usually are not excited.
No.
Sometimes you are. Sometimes you want to be clean.
Actually, my dentist always has HGTV playing, and I think that's entertaining enough. That's fun. You're not going to have a bad time.
Yeah, and you're definitely wanting to be in there when you don't have HGTV in the lobby.
Right.
You're excited to go in.
This is from friend of the show, Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian.
Bring me Peter
Bradshaw. This is a very intense, claustrophobic black comedy whose inner anxiety is underlined by Ariel Marx's nerve-jangling score, which seems always to be leading us to some eruption of emotional hurt. And in fact, there are two or three moments where the buzz of conversation is suddenly stilled by the raising of voices. This film is maybe a little callow, but is undoubtedly impressive and accomplished debut.
What does callow mean?
I was hoping I would look it up before you asked.
Because you knew I would ask.
I knew you would ask. But I think I know what it is from context. But is
it like shallow?
It is of a young person, inexperienced and immature.
Sure. Okay. This next review is by Gargamel of the Woods. That's a great name. Here we go. Painfully awkward. Typical example of this new genre of anti-hero millennial Gen Xer who is suffering from the consequences of their embrace of chaos. It sounds awesome the way they just said that. I found the movie to be humorless, except for maybe the finale minivan scene. And the appraise it has received is completely beyond comprehension to me.
All right. That was Critics Corner. That was great. It was perfect.
Yeah.
So this is the part where I just kind of summarize the film. I'm going to do it real fast.
Okay.
So the film stars Danielle, who's a college senior. Like, it opens, she's having sex with this guy, Max.
Yes.
And then she gets called from parents and she has to go to the Shiva. She misses the funeral. She goes to the Shiva. Her parents are delightful and they argue, but that's cute. And they all
are Shiva and Wake the exact same thing, except for Jewish?
Yes. Okay. Well, there is something called sitting Shiva, which I've only learned from TV, where you like basically sit around in your home and just like invite people in for several days. Anyway, it is similar to Wake. So she goes to this Shiva, you know, seeing family. She sees her ex-girlfriend who's like, she's like a very competitive kind of weirdness to their relationship. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get it. And then, oh my God, who should it be but the sugar daddy she was sleeping with earlier with his wife and baby. Oh no. And it's Quinn Fabre from Glee, as I mentioned. And then it's kind of like just how weird and awkward that is playing out. All the awkwardness with all those relationships I mentioned, and that's the whole movie. That is literally the whole.
That's the whole movie. It's like one scene. I think.
And
it's,
then the. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, and then the end of the movie is like none of them can get a car for some reason. They all get into her dad's van, and that's the end. Like nothing is resolved. Nobody gets called out or anything. Like that's the movie.
I like how this is like the exact opposite of our previous film, which was Star Wars The Phantom Menace. So here's a compliment to this film. The last film, you're like, I don't think a human wrote this because everyone is so robotic and unemotional and stilted and flat. And who are these? Are these people? I felt like the movie is very the opposite of that. They're very personable. There's very like complex relationships happening, and it's all very well acted and emotional, I thought.
Yeah, I thought all the acting was great, but it didn't feel like a film so much as just like
that's
an experience.
That's the second reason why it's the opposite. In the last movie, we had an ending with four scenes happening at the same time. This movie, it's like, what if one scene was a movie?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this movie was very like particular to the Jewish experience, but it's also pretty relatable to somebody who has a big family, I think. Like you can kind of feel those feelings because they're well put on screen of, you know, being a little lost in life and being just bombarded by relatives or whatever.
I don't think we've clearly set up what this movie even is, because like it's a weird, I think I like it more than you guys, I think, because it's sure. Like the whole premise of it, I mean, you've heard the plot. It's about a girl who goes whatever, but like tonally the film is like, what if a girl visiting her, what if a girl visiting with her family's friends was a thriller? And it's kind of like scored and shot that way, where it's like really weirdly intense for a lot of the film.
But there's no payoff to that tension.
No, no, certainly not.
Because, you know, it's like, oh no, are they going to find out? Like, oh no, I think Quinn Fabre knows that she's sleeping with her husband, but she never says it. But it's like, they say you're a babysitter. Nope. Oh, you know she knows. But yeah. Again, that just never comes to fruition, and they never like end that in a satisfying
but
way.
It's also like even scored like a horror movie with violins like freaking that's
can I tell you the sound editing that made me want to like shoot myself in the face.
Okay, wow.
Was that fucking baby crying? And I get sure. Like that was the point. It was supposed to like put you on edge and make her feel like awful about herself, and it was supposed to be ear splitting, but it was constant. And I'm like, that baby is so annoying. Take that baby outside. And they're just like chilling with that baby screaming at you. And I'm like, ah, I hate it. That Which was, again, I think was the point.
But. So were you ever thrilled by the movie?
Okay. Let's talk about this because apparently it was based on an NYU thesis of like what sugar babying is really like. And apparently it's like actually a feminist act. I didn't get that from the movie.
I didn't get that at all. There was like one tiny moment where they're like, oh, okay. Where the ex-girlfriend, I was like, oh, actually, I guess I understand kind of why you're doing this.
I didn't. Because, okay, so one of the reviews I read compared it to The Graduate. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought that was a pretty apt description because nothing really happens in The Graduate, but it is about being lost as an incredibly privileged person that you can't really empathize with that well.
Yeah.
Because... So we don't really know why she does it.
No, even though apparently she gives like an explanation in the film. She's I just feel like it gives me power. It was like a speech like that.
That explanation left me so confused. Because,
well, you're not going to get a good. You're not going to be sold on sugaring, are you?
Well, why not? I don't know. If it's a feminist act, sell it to me, man. Because to me, she seems like a spoiled brat who just doesn't know what she wants in life and likes, I don't know. She's like, yeah, this is how I feel like I can get some of the power back or something. And because she, throughout the movie, so they make this joke throughout the movie that like she doesn't have a real major and it's just like women's studies and stuff. And they're all very dismissive of it. But she also seems dismissive of it. And she never really talks about feminism until that one moment. And in fact, she says really
I don't
mean
feel
things.
Like she was like, oh, yeah, I do it because it's feminist. She's like, no, I just do it because I like it. It makes me feel good. And I don't say I feel like, good for you. That's the good way to go. But it's like, okay, you're still a bad person, but like, I get it.
She was describing it through the lens of a feminist reasoning, was like a power exchange. Like that's somebody who's in grad school would talk about it that way.
Oh, okay. I just read it as like, that's just what a human would say.
Sure. I don't know. Yeah, no, so I found it very similar. So especially, she didn't need to do it because her parents pay for everything. And it's like, why do I feel sad for this character at all? Like, I don't even mind the genre of a young person who is privileged being lost because it's still kind of universal in ways. But like, I don't know. She's going to be fine. Like, there aren't any stakes here.
There's no stakes, no.
And it's funny because it's a movie, as you said, shot like a thriller that feels... It's shot like a movie with very high stakes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, she is like so worried that her parents might find out or her family might find out. And her parents just seem lovely and supportive constantly. Like, she has a breakdown at one point in the movie, which I should say the lead actress is very good. I thought every scene she was in, she's dynamic. She's convincing. When she has an emotional breakdown, I'm like, wow, I feel that. And she cries and she's like, Mom, are you disappointed in me? And she's like, no, of course not. I love you. And I'm like, that's been clear to me from the beginning. You are a very supportive set of parents who love their daughter very much. And I don't feel like if they found out your dark secret, anything would happen. So I'm like, what are the stakes here at all?
No, there's
what
no
are
stakes.
We nervous about with that, which I do agree with you. I did actually kind of like the discordant string music. I was kind of
I don't know why. Yeah, because you're right, there's no stakes, and it's like I don't even know if I followed the main character's motivation, even though like at some level I trusted that like the person writing this has some idea what the main character's thinking. So it's like maybe it's okay if I don't fully understand is what I thought. But there were still some times where scenes were happening that were tense, where I felt like it still grabbed me, even though it is pointless, I guess, in a way.
Which is almost feels like a missed opportunity, because it feels like some of the filmmaking was really good, but there was just no story or interest aside from set pieces, good editing, good acting.
I felt like the relationship was interesting between the ex-girlfriend and her.
I didn't really get it. Yeah. Okay. So I guess it also, it's interesting what you said about how you don't really get the main character. So we meet her and then she goes to the Shiva and she sees the guy and then she sees the wife and then she sees the baby and she's figuring out how long she's seen him and how long she. And I, when I see that, I'm like, oh, she just feels so guilty because he like has a young family. And then the first thing we see her do after that scene is take a topless photo and send it to him.
Yeah, there's
that.
I didn't get a lot of things. Like, I felt like I was like, all right, movie, I'm going with you. I don't understand, but like, all right, let's go. But it's like, I think she's like also like mad at him, which I don't really get. Like, if you're sugaring, you get what you're doing. Yeah. But then it was especially the scene, like pretty late in the movie, where she's like, come up to, hey, man, come up to me in the bathroom and I'm going to blow you. Like, why are you doing that? Like, I just.
Yeah.
I won't lie. I wanted to like this movie, but I did have trouble figuring out what the main character was thinking.
And I feel like the guy was supposed to be a douchebag. Like, he clearly is a douchebag. Right?
I thought all the acting was really good because that guy did seem very douchey.
I like the first time we meet him and like they just have sex and he's like, I just, here's this money. I'm so proud of you for going to law school. I just think it's really important to support women. And I'm like, this is funny. That's like a funny bit. And then again, I didn't really get the payoff for that because like, he didn't have any consequences for being a douchebag, other than I guess his wife definitely knows he's cheating on him, but that doesn't seem like new information to her.
There's a scene. Okay, so like I didn't always follow the high level of what the main character was thinking, but like at certain scenes, I felt like I caught on. Like, and I feel like at one point in the movie, she's like, I'm just going to fuck with this guy, which like I don't get why, but I think it was funny.
Sure.
There's a scene where. So Quinn, so the mom, or what am I trying to say? The man and his wife are sitting on a couch and they're like looking at photos. And then our main character like goes and like tries to like subtly reveal the whole plot to them. They're like, yeah, yeah. She's like recounting this fake backstory of why they know each other.
Like, oh yeah, oh, that they met in temple or something.
They met in a temple. Or did we? She like stops. And the guy's like, what the fuck are you doing? There were scenes like that where I'm like, what is going on? I just felt very, it was the high point. But the movie goes on way too fucking long. The whole van scene.
Which is a weird thing to say because it's 70 minutes long.
Yeah, I really am curious why, was it like, how did you take the short film and make it longer? Because it is a short movie. It's one scene.
I feel like it should be just a short film. Like it should be a short film.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were also some moments that felt like they were just Jewish stereotypes, but I guess it's okay if it's written by a Jewish person, right? But like the cover art is so weird. It's her in like a cream cheese dress eating a bagel. And I'm like, that seems like a little much, but who am I to say, I guess?
Who am I to say?
I don't know. I also, okay, this is a really weird thing that I liked. So again, I do think some of the elements were so good because like you felt it viscerally is how she keeps trying to leave and she'll go from one parent like, oh yeah, yeah, we'll leave. Just like tell your dad. And I'm like, that's just like me as a teenager at like every party with our parents. Jesus. It's like, I just want to leave. Like, oh my God, yes, we'll leave. Or like dad, looking at his glass of wine, like, oh yeah, I just need to finish. I'm just going to finish this. And we're out the door. And then it's like 3 hours later.
You can see the clock. There's only a minute left in the game. So it's going to be 1 minute till we go.
It was a little too effective, because to me, that's like, she was kind of acting like a child in that way, but it was a very familiar feeling.
Yeah.
But I guess that maybe that was also the point, that she's still kind of a child. I don't know. I wonder what John thinks about this movie. You have more than...
No, I guess not. Let's go to our favorite segment, Bro Call, where we get our brother John's opinions about the film. Hey, John, are you there?
Hi.
How do you know to put your headphones on right at the right time?
It's just movie magic, man.
Damn, I'm impressed. Were you impressed by the film Shiva Baby on HBO Max?
I mean, by the very tone in your question, you know the answer. I mean, it's like this movie was caked up in a laboratory designed to annoy the living hell out of me.
It is, yeah.
It's not a movie for me.
Okay, for the audience at home who might not know John Flaherty as well as us, the thing he hates most about movies is when they're awkward or when they make you viscerally feel awkward by watching. Like, that's his least favorite
thing.
Which
is the movie.
This is the whole movie. This is the premise of the movie. Like, John can barely watch The Office. Like, he is not a guy who wants to feel awkward.
All of that is 100% accurate.
Oh, that is why it's particularly torturous.
Yeah, I got to the selfie in the bathroom scene, and I'm like, wow, I've gone too far. We have crossed the Rubicon. I turned it off. I read a plot summary. I'm like, made the right call.
Yeah, you saw the movie, basically.
Yeah. Nothing about it did I enjoy. I did respect the movie's construction. I mean, I got where it was going. I thought the actors were doing what they were asked to do quite well, mm-hmm. even if I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I liked the framing, how like it was shot like a horror film. But again, I don't like horror movies, so two strikes.
Just not a tension guy.
No, I like some tension. I don't like awkward tension.
Yeah.
Like when the baby showed up,
I'm like, I get everything that this movie is going to do. It's only an hour and 10 minutes, so it's not that hard to figure out.
Did you also find the baby crying like uniquely irritating?
I was already at nails on chalkboard just by the dialogue. So...
so loud. And they use that baby crying device so many times. Take your baby outside. God.
There were so many things before that I would have said, why is this happening?
And why did they stay at the family party so long if that baby was crying for like 3 hours? Just leave. Like, that's the whole reason to have a baby, so you can get out of social obligations. God.
They did have some trouble because the baby actor, did just keep crying. So they had to write it more into the script.
Oh, well.
Because they only had 16 days. They only had a certain lease with that Airbnb.
Right.
It was an Airbnb. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So I think it was it's essentially a play movie. I thought they did a good job professionally. But no, this movie is not for me or anybody like me. No.
That's fair.
What grade do you give it?
I say all this saying it's hard to grade, right? Because it's clearly not a movie for me, but I get that it is a professional movie that would probably resonate well with some. Is this actually a movie, by the way?
It's a real film.
It was released in theaters.
Even though it's only 70 minutes long?
Yep.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. So I'll give it a C, I guess.
That's really nice.
Because, this movie like was nails into my cranium.
That's really fair.
But yeah, it was... Again, I only watched like 25, 30 minutes of it. So
you got it. You're fine.
I probably got it. Yeah. So that's what I got.
Yeah. Remember the scene where she's like been fighting with her ex-girlfriend the whole time, then they just make out? I didn't feel like there was a lot of lead up to that. I'm like, okay, I guess they're together now.
Sorry, let's cap it. That was Bro Call.
That was Bro Call. Sorry.
Capped. Here's what I'll say. So I've brought up some good points. I'm trying to be the pro here on this panel. good acting, good moments, good emotions. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just do uniquely like this interesting tone that I've not seen, where it's a horror, but nothing horror is actually happening. But I do have to also asterisk that by saying, actually, that tone of theirs does go too far for me. There was parts where they're like, drama's happening on the violin. It's like all this crazy, all this noise, where I'm just like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, it was just like,
especially because sometimes it was just like, oh, this is just an awkward conversation she doesn't want to be in.
Right.
Where the it's like, movie is treating it.
To a degree, I thought that gimmick was fun, but it's like, yeah, they did push it too far a couple times.
Right. If I were grading this film, I can't stop thinking about it in comparison to The Graduate, where it's like, I think The Graduate sucked for so many reasons, but it's also like, it was part of, you know, the 70s new cinema, and it was really interesting. And I'm like, no, this film is interesting to watch.
I don't think this film took itself too seriously. I just remember this one point in The Graduate where he's like banging on the glass and they're like, he looks like Jesus. That's a thing that happens, right?
Something like that, yeah. I don't know. Fuck that movie.
Sam's nodding her head, so I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I didn't care for that film.
Or at the end of The Graduate where they look sad, where they just like stop, and the director is like, that's like an accident because the actors just rested their faces like that. But it was so meaningful that I just had to have it at the film. You're just like, go fuck off. So right. This movie doesn't have that. It's not like so pretentious. So
less pretentious nonsense, more interesting, more engaging, better characters, but it's still nothing. Like, yeah. It's still, I don't find the genre of a privileged person being lost in life that compelling. But, Michael.
But maybe that's okay. I mean, things can just be nothing, right?
Yeah.
When you queued up this movie and it was 70 minutes, what was your feeling?
Like, I was really excited.
Yeah,
I was like,
fuck yeah.
I was very happy about that.
70. All right.
I was like, 72 minutes. That includes the credits. It was very exciting.
So sometimes you want that.
I there were some parts where I'm like, I like instinctively wanted to leave the room. It felt a little awkward.
I watched this movie in parts, yeah.
I think I'm going to give it a C+, though, because... Whoa. Which I think is a little too nice, because again, it's not really a movie. But like, all right, that wasn't the worst thing I've seen. I don't know. Whatever.
I'll give it a B-, because when I finished this movie, I was like, whoa, that was interesting. And I don't say that for a lot of films.
No, you have a high bar for interesting, and you like being surprised.
And I mean, I actually did pick this movie just because of that. Like, I just want to see some weird, and then we got it.
You did it.
We did it.
Good job, Michael.
So I felt satisfied. Wow. All right. We got some vulgarities from John. Anyway. Visually. Anyway.
Speaking of vulgarities, who are we sponsored by this week?
We're sponsored by Fisher-Price.
Fisher-Price.
The most vulgar.
When you want. What? Yeah,
the most
vulgar
company I can think of.
I mean, it's like vulgar for the environment. That's like a lot of plastic.
It's a lot of plastic. Everything's a lot of plastic.
So you should buy it. It's like you want a little toy car, but like for a child, not for you. So you can get a real car, adult who is listening
to this. I can get a toy car.
What would you do with a toy car?
Play with it. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
It's like me. Like, I could do that.
You could probably get something with Paw Patrol on it. I don't know.
Paw Patrol. I could like roll it around on my desk and it'd be like, oh, the little car is driving on my desk.
Or you could like put your cat in it and then she'd be really pissed. And then you just like try for like 2 hours to get a shot of her being pissed in the car, and then your relationship will never be the same.
That'd be cute with some cats, but my cat would kill me. She's very aggressive.
But these are just ideas, guys.
These are just ideas. Yeah. If you're Fisher Price, then you can go wherever you want.
This was some weird copy from Fisher Price.
They said all this. They know about Crunchwrap. They know about my cat.
They're just really big fans of the show.
They love this show. They've seen every episode. They're like, we also love Heroes.
Let's talk about it.
You did not even mention Hayden Panettiere. What the fuck?
I mean, they're also big Nashville fans, so like they're kind of split loyalties on that, you know?
Right, totally.
So the special this week is Sam is going to pick the next movie. Ooh, Sam,
what is it?
Looks like we're staying a little more current in our film choice. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, that's a good film. We will watch that next time.
Stay tuned for that trailer, maybe.
And cut.
My name is Peter Parker. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. I saved the city, fell in love, then I saved the city again and again and again. Look, I'm a comic book, a serial, I did a Christmas album, and a so-so popsicle. But this isn't about me. Not anymore.
Spider-Man swings in once a day, zip-zaps up in his little mask and answers to no one. I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know, Dad.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I wanna hear it.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
My name is Miles Morales. Brooklyn! I'm the one and only Spider-Man. At least that's what I thought.
You ever hear of the Super Collider?
You're gonna love this.
Dimension opening now.
You're like me.
That's impossible.
All right, kid, listen up.
This fry is your universe.
It's soggy, it's weird, it's gross.
And this delicious normal fry is my universe. So you want to learn to be Spider-Man?
Can you teach me?
Yes, I can. Time to swing. Good, you're doing it. Double tap to release and whip it out again.
Okay.
Whip
and release.
You're a natural. Whip.
Hey, guys.
Who are you?
I'm Gwen Stacy. I'm from another dimension.
How many more spider people are there?
Hey, fellas.
Hello.
This could literally not get any weirder.
It can get weirder.
Okay.
We need to get back to our universes soon.
Brooklyn is going to collapse. My family lives in Brooklyn.
Whoa.
Miles, what's wrong?
This was never your city. It's mine.
If I don't destroy the collider, none of us will have a home to go home to.
Remember, what makes you different?
Let's go!
Is what makes you Spider-Man.
Officer,
I love you.
Wait, what?
That way. Other way.
Do animals talk in this dimension? Because I don't want to freak them out.